Hey, welcome back.
Yo!
This is AsterixR, and we're back.
We are.
Better than ever. Maybe not better than ever.
Yeah, we're somewhere.
We're somewhere, and that place is here in your ears.
Mm-hmm.
And we're tackling a couple of shorties again. This is a quick shorty episode.
Yep, this is Shorties watching Shorties.
Shorties watching Shorties. You got to bring that show back. That was a very good show.
All right. It's okay.
Right. Yeah, I'm Ethan. Yeah. I'm Ethan. You're Coogee.
I'm Coogee. Yeah, me.
We're AsterixR. We're in a good mood. Right?
It's been too long, bro. Been too long.
It's been too long. But we'll get back into the groove. So let's start here.
Gotcha.
We watched two movies.
With La Luna.
We watched La Luna. a little short called La Luna. Before Brave is when it aired in 2011. And this one was pretty cute. We had not seen it. We're in uncharted territory, right? We hadn't seen this one or the movies that they are preceding.
Correct.
Got it. So this one, La Luna, is pretty weird, I'll say. A little Italian boy and his father and his grandfather go out in a boat. And his father and his grandfather are arguing about how he should wear his hat. A lot of focus on the hats here.
Yeah, they give him like a hat for, like, I don't know, night time.
Yeah, the old night hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like he's coming out with them on their first job. It's like he's coming out, his bar mitzvah. So he gets an adult hat.
And
what do you call those hats?
I don't know.
There's a name for it.
It's like, I don't know. My grandpa's hat.
Every Italian grandpa's hat.
It's like an immigrant cap. It's like the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, I think that's the official name.
Or a newsies.
That's like
cap.
Not quite a golfing, or like a not quite like a newsies hat. It's like a little more flat.
It's like a Kangol.
Okay, yeah, that's it. It's a Kangol made popular by Mr. LL. So we got this kid whose name is Bambino.
Which means a child. Oh, the Bambino.
He's the baby. As my Italian mother still calls me, so that's fun.
She calls you Bambino?
Yeah, she still calls me Bambino. I'm pretty sure that's what my name is in her phone.
Hmm. Oh, you are the Bambino.
Yeah, boy. Well, going back, I don't know if we're so discombobulated. We haven't done these in a while, but this one was directed by Enrico Casarosa, who is an Italian from Genoa, the motherland.
Well, let's make his name Rico Redhouse.
Yeah, Rico Redhouse.
That's a cooler name, Rico Redhouse.
Yeah, I think you should go by that. I should Americanize it.
I'm going to start getting my mail as that, I think.
So, yeah, Rico Redhouse, the new face, I think, for us. He's a storyboard artist on some movies. I mean, he's been did Cars, Ratatouille, Up, but this is the first time he gets his directorial role. Pixar seems to like do that, give these little shorts to, you know, new faces to test it out.
And it's worked out most of the time, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they're all great. And they're all... It's cool because then they all come from, like, a totally different place. This guy is Italian, so the characters are Italian, and they kind of speak in, like, Italian gibberish.
Yeah, it was, like, The Sims version of Italian.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. They all kind of... they sound like NPCs in a video game.
Yeah.
Or he's like, blah, 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 blah. But I'm getting the point across, but it's all gibberish.
Yeah, so they're in a boat, and they see the Luna come up from the horizon, and they're also
that means the moon.
Well, yeah, for layman, yes, the moon. And then they have a freakishly long ladder, and they tie an anchor to the kid and make him go jump on the moon.
Yeah, just send him right up the ladder. It's a weird little short because I had no idea. Like, as it progresses, it just gets like stranger and more surreal. Because they start off just a couple dudes on a boat, and I assume they're just going to be fishing the whole time. But then, he does a Mary Poppins with that ladder and pulls it all the way up. It's like 50-foot ladder.
And then they... It turns out they're like the moon janitors, I guess. They got to clean up the moon.
Yeah, he gets to the top, and then he is kind of... His gravitational pull changes from... I guess the ocean area to the moon, which is very Mario Galaxy.
I was just going to say that.
maybe about a month ago, bought a Wii and started playing Mario Galaxy. It's awesome.
Wait, you bought a Wii a month ago? How much was it? Like $6?
Yeah, basically. Why I bought it. So cheap.
Gotta get that Switch, dude.
I know. The Switch, that shit does look pretty cool.
You should have gotten a Wii U, if anything.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Those are expensive still.
Really? That makes no sense. The next system's out. I don't know why they... Well, whatever. It's for a different time, I guess.
Yeah, it's a different time. But you played Mario Galaxy? That's a dope game.
Yeah. That's so good. It's
hard.
The second one's good, too. You played that one?
No, but I will when I beat this one.
You gotta beat it, and then they have, like, the green stars, too. You gotta, like, or play as Luigi. You gotta do that. There's, like, so many challenge mode versions of things, it's really cool. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a good one. And this dude must have played that game, because there's that whole gravitational shift, and then all the characters definitely look like Mario.
And they're all Italian.
The janitors, and they're Italian. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I wonder if Italians really do like Mario.
I mean, I do. You do.
That's true.
We got to go to Italy on a journey to find this out.
Yeah, we need to poll the people.
How do you feel about Mario? Oh, you mean my cousin Mario. I love him. My name is Mario.
Yeah, they just assume you're talking about their buddies. Oh, yeah, of course I love Mario.
Yeah, I'm sure that's... Yeah. It's like asking people here if you like Mario. John Smith. Like...
So these Mario guys, they get to the moon, the little moon. They all get up there, and then it turns out it's covered in these little like star bits, which is another Mario Galaxy ripoff.
It is, and they're like shooting stars. They're even the same shape as like the stars in Mario. I guess stars are just star shaped, but like
they didn't make that star shape up. But it is, like, the same, like, roundness, and, like, I feel like it's almost the same noises they make, too.
Yeah. So. And then, I don't know.
Fault them. It's a good game.
I don't know if you ever played Super Mario RPG.
Oh, yeah. That's, like, one of my favorite games.
You know the big star that goes and crashes into that planet? It's, like, the exact same imagery from this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get on the moon, and then it turns out they are the janitors of this moon, so they're just, like, sweeping up the stars, and then the big one hits. And, yeah, it's straight out of RPG. This dude played a lot of Mario.
Yeah, he must have.
It's my man.
And, yeah, I mean, you're right. I didn't see where it was going, like, the entire time. I'm like, oh, they just want to show him the moon. They just want him to check out this moon. Oh, they want him to see why the moon glows. The moon glows because... a bunch of shooting stars landed on it. No, we gotta sweep it up. Then it turns out they're sweeping it, each in their own way. The motif of like, be like dad, no, be like grandpa. And it's like, no, be like me. And then,
yeah,
the kid finds his own way. It's beautiful.
There you go. He's the rake guy.
Yeah, it makes less sense than the other ones, but I mean, obviously the push brush is the best one. It's like the push broom has a lot more ground it covers. You just sweep it up. It's perfect. It's practical.
Yeah, and the angle is, you get a lot of force behind it.
Yeah. I'm team dad on this one. I'm team papa.
Yeah, the papa with the push brush for a mustache, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which, so yeah, he's got the push brush for a mustache, and then the grandpa's got like the wispy broom beard. So I was like, how's this kid gonna start looking like a rake?
he's got those rake teeth.
He has five teeth down. So after all that, they're sweeping up. They break the big star into a bunch of little stars, and they come back down. And I'm still like, what the fuck is going on? And then it ends, and they zoom out, and it shows that they had brushed the star bits to one side to make the full moon into a crescent moon.
Oh.
And I was like, oh.
That's how they do that.
That's how they do it. Makes total sense.
Do you think it was a waning crescent or a waxing crescent?
I believe, well, the problem is I watched it on YouTube, and they're like, all the versions were like reversed.
Yeah, me too. I guess. Okay.
But I found one that wasn't reversed after I watched it again, so I watched it like two times in a row. Well, I feel like it's waning, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I guess it went from full to crescent, so that'd be waning. Right?
Right.
Okay, yeah. See, we got this.
Yeah, because I always thought like wax on. I'm just like filling in more. So my stupid child brain made up.
So, how'd you feel about this one?
It was interesting. It was not my favorite, and the I did like how it was like a surprise ending. A lot of their shorts don't really have like a twist ending to them. They just kind of like have like a satisfying resolution to like the problem they bring up in the very beginning. So yeah. That was a little different. But it definitely felt like more of like a foreign film than the other ones they put out there. But yeah, it was interesting. What do you think?
I agree. It I mean, yeah, all the rest of them. I mean, yeah, it's really hard to compare to any of them because all of them have their own like, I mean, they're all directed and written by different people. It's hard to compare them, but this is probably up there, up top.
You think this one's up there?
It kept me guessing. You're the best? Kept me guessing.
Kept you guessing.
It's
That's true.
It's towards the top. It's not the top, but it's close.
I don't know if you looked into the wiki too much, but one of the inspirations for this was La Linea, like a long-running Italian cartoon, is what I'm guessing. And so I checked into that, and it's just like a stick figure. So it's like a line, yeah. And then out of the line, have you seen this before?
I looked up into it, and
you did.
It looks really familiar, but I feel like I've just seen parodies of it. I'm sure is what.
Yeah, it does look really familiar, but maybe there's just like a American version. But I liked this one because it was just the little stick figure guy just like constantly screaming at the artist, like the off-screen like hand that drew him in Italian. And he's like, doing the same like Italian gibberish. I guess they really lean into that stereotype.
Well, then what's the point of it then? If he's just screaming gibberish, it's just to be funny?
Yeah, maybe those Italians really get off on just yelling at each other. I think it's hilarious. I mean, I think it's kind of doing, whatever. But it was funny. Because it looked like, did you ever watch the old Whose Line Is It Anyway? When it was like a British show?
Yeah.
They did that. The intro had the same little like cartoon dudes.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I think that might be it.
Maybe. We found it.
You found it?
No, we found where we were.
Oh, the inspiration. Oh, that you you're like, oh, I found it. You were very proud of yourself.
Found it.
You got there. No.
We did it together. The music on that one was our boy Michael Giacchino, and I'm sure I'm always saying his name wrong, but
I think that's right.
He's the best. He's great.
Wikipedia also says he was inspired by Italo Calvino. I don't know if you remember him.
Who?
Italo Calvino? No?
Hmm.
Maybe you dropped out of the program already, but he was like, he's a big, he's not architect, but he's architect, like, novelist that they refer to a lot.
Yeah, I'm on his wiki now. The Invisible Cities, that's a book I've had, never read for about 7 years.
It's a good one. It's for, it's about Venice and how different conditions of the city or different cities, thus being invisible. It's very deep philosophy architecture.
Yeah, I think I started to read it like 3 times and I just couldn't do it.
And you're like, screw this.
I can't read.
It's okay. No one can read.
All right, so I think that does it for the first one.
Yeah,
right?
That was fun.
That was a fun trip. Now the next one we got here is called The Blue Umbrella. In 2013, it premiered alongside Monsters University.
Which I'm excited to see, by the way.
Really?
I like Monsters, Inc. Why wouldn't Monsters University be good? That's a dumb question.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I mean, I just heard it's pretty terrible.
Well, it's also not directed by Pete Docter, which is probably what made it good.
100%.
Because Pete Docter's the man.
I am not. I'm really, I don't think I'm excited for anything else we're going to watch.
Toy Story 3, I'm not excited because I know what it's going to be. But
yeah,
Inside Out, I kind of am, just because Lewis Black is in it and I really like him.
Yeah, Inside Out is supposed to be good. So I'm excited for that one.
But I digress.
Yeah, we're digressing.
Yes.
So we got Blue Umbrella here. This one was directed by Sachka Unseld. Doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. That's how
that's
underground he is. I'm assuming he's just another dude at Pixar that they grabbed to do this film, which they like to do. And this one, I enjoyed much more than La Luna.
You did?
I did. This one felt a lot more like a Pixar movie to me than the other one did. It's a clever take on everyday objects and situations, which is, I feel like, a hallmark of Pixar stuff. So to give you the rundown, we're in a normal ass city. And it's like it's like hyper realistic animation, which was pretty impressive, and also made it more interesting as it progressed, because you're seeing people walking around the city, you're not really seeing like people's faces, it's just like general shots, and then it starts to rain, and when it rains, like, everything in the city comes to life. Post office, you can see it smile, and like even the sidewalk is smiling, everything, buildings. Like, you see little eyes everywhere.
I do like that, because I feel like, being the selfish species we are, I feel like we tend to see faces in things when it's not there.
Yeah, some good old pareidolia.
Is that pareidolia? Is that what it's called?
I'm saying it right. Yeah, that's what it's called.
Oh, well, there you go.
When you see faces and things.
I have that condition.
Yeah, me too. I love doing that. I feel like I did that a lot as a kid, and I would just like stare at a chair and try and find its face and give it a personality.
Because
I had no friends.
Oh, well, that's not yet to that.
You already agreed. You can't take it back.
All right. Fine.
So they took that idea to the extreme in this little short here, because like I said, even like random stuff, like the street sign, the walk sign, which was funny because it has the picture of a hand on it, so I thought maybe that hand was going to like become a like a waving hand or something, but it's just the little screws above it are smiling.
Yeah.
But anyway, the plot of the story is amongst this rain storm and all these things coming to life, everyone brings out their umbrellas, and everyone's got sad umbrellas except for one blue one who's really super happy to be in the rain and, you know, loving life.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's the boy umbrella. And then we've got right next to him pops in a sexy red umbrella who is, I guess,
ooh la la,
supposed to be the lady, or yeah, real hot.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to get close to the umbrella. The blue one's trying to get close to the red one.
They're throwing some glances at each other like, hmm, hey.
Yeah, they do like, yeah, little awkward looks, and then they catch his eye. It's very cute, very meet cute.
And then he has like a
for umbrellas.
What I thought was a metaphorical erection, where his umbrella pops back like out, onset out. He's like, ugh! He looks so embarrassed.
I didn't think about that as a boner, but it totally is.
It's umbrella porn, is what it is. That's what it is.
Umbrella porn at its best.
Yes. Well, I don't know how good it can get, really, but... Well, then it...
Can't get better than this.
Then it turns, like, Umbrella Horror Story.
Yeah. Because they get separated, and then... Yeah, they get separated, and then the blue guy's, like, trying to get back, and they're about to go into the subway, so he's, like, freaking out, because he's about to get undone, I guess, or, you know, put away.
Yeah.
And then he catches a nice gust of wind and starts flying towards the red umbrella. And I thought, okay, he's gonna find her. It's gonna be nice. But then a bus knocks him off course, and then yeah, it becomes kind of like a horror film where he's trying to not get run over.
But then there's also a part where there's like a lane closed, and there's like a light's going to like merge with the lane, and then this car is going like full speed directly at that sign. The thing starts flickering faster because it's alive, and it's like, no, turn. What are you doing?
Yeah, that cab did not give a fuck. He was about to just go through.
Yeah, he was just gonna hit all his. And then also, didn't like one of the. I feel like one of the barricades like sacrificed himself for the umbrella.
Yeah, that was deep. He like jumps on him, and like bounces him out of traffic. But then it looks like he gets run over.
Yeah, poor guy.
That was so. At this point, all the like entire city is pretty much in favor of this umbrella getting with the other umbrella, and I didn't really know why, because I don't know. They don't know that. I mean, they just met. How does the street sign know that he wants to bone the red umbrella?
I mean, you could tell. I mean,
come on, guys.
You just can see them looking at each other.
That's true. And they're the only two non-black umbrellas in the entire city. So maybe that's just like, oh, they should be together?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Colored people should be together. That's exactly.
Oh, jeez.
Right? Isn't that what it says?
Yeah, I didn't write it. I didn't write it. Sasha Unsell did.
Yeah.
Let's check his credentials. Oh, wait, he doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
I checked his IMDb. He's... very stylish. Let's check out his website. He does a lot of random. He's very artsy, so I imagine. I don't think he's still at Pixar. I think, or maybe he is, and he just does something else. But he's like wearing a. In his IMDb, like, I guess you call it a headshot. He's wearing duck boots, horn rimmed glasses, wearing a scarf oddly. I mean, he still looks...
oddly. Seems,
yeah, he's wearing it very weirdly. He looks like he knows what he's doing, so...
I gotta take a look at him now.
He's an interesting-looking dude.
He's just a fine-looking fella. Well, I mean, it makes sense that he's very artsy, because I feel like this is very artsy. Oh, yeah, that is a weird
Yeah.
What the hell? Yeah. That scarf is gigantic.
He's wearing a giant scarf. It's like, yeah, I don't know.
That's like that, what's that dude? Well, fuck it.
I don't know what you're trying to get to.
There's that meme of that dude with the giant umbrella. Lenny Kravitz. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, he's just like Lenny Kravitz.
It's like, he looks exactly like Lenny Kravitz in this picture.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I like his short here. And we finally get a resolution because the... Well, it's not before the umbrella looks like he's dead and buried because he gets all messed up in traffic and he's just sitting on the side of the road. And everyone's sad, even the sewer drain.
Yeah.
But then at the last second, somehow... His owner finds him.
Blue Man.
Blue Man with the blue boots. He loves the color blue. Yeah.
And then Red Girl shows up and she's like, hey, let me help you up. And then...
I notice you have a blue umbrella and I have a red one. We should be together.
Mm-hmm. Did you know...
Because that's just the way it is in the big city.
Did you notice where they ate?
No.
It was the Parapluie...
Is it Ratatouille?
Parapluie Cafe... That which is French for umbrella. That would be the Umbrella Cafe. Yeah, how about that?
Very cute. Yeah, this...
I don't know how good my French accent like is, but...
No, that was impeccable. It did seem almost like a French short, this one did. A lot of foreign shorts in this combo here. Umbrellas are very French. I don't know if you think that, too. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, they, I guess, I mean, I've been to France once and it didn't rain, so I didn't see any, but.
But then I don't know what to
do. It rained them spitting on me because I was American, but that was pretty much it.
You kept ordering freedom fries.
Yeah, thanks, George Bush.
They did go all over to, take photographs of inanimate objects, apparently, including Paris. So there you go.
Okay.
Unseld himself conceptualized the story after finding an abandoned umbrella in San Francisco.
Oh, he would live in San Francisco.
He would.
He would. He swears. Well.
And he describes the short as a love declaration to the rain, which is a weird thing to say.
I mean... Out the rain, the next guy, but I mean, I do like
I hate rain.
I do like the idea of because I've been, I mean, you and me both, you know, grew up in Florida. I'm sure you've seen a lot of like busted ass umbrellas because the rain here doesn't mess around very much, also people are just generally shitty. And like, if their umbrella breaks, they're just like, all right, go on the ground then, and then it's like.
Someone else will pick that up.
So I guess if, like, you know, you ever wonder, like, how'd this umbrella get here? I mean, this could be one of those stories. You'd be like, oh, maybe it fell in love with another umbrella, and then it tried to escape, and then it got hit by a car. Mm-hmm.
And then the storm drain saved him.
And yeah, one thing I've never seen, and this is through every movie and cartoon ever, is that umbrellas have this, like, weird ability to just float and fly and float around or like use a parachute, but they definitely don't. I've never had an umbrella float like that. I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, this ain't Mary Poppins.
Yeah, I don't think physics allows that to happen. But
you never like had it kind of like feel like it's gonna lift you up.
I've had that, and then I let go, and it just like kind of falls down 2 feet. Just yeah,
falls. Yeah.
It would need like constant like lift, wouldn't it? To keep it like it, I don't think it could just sustain flight.
I think so. We gotta call Chris. He's our physics expert.
That's true, yeah, our in-house physics expert.
The only thing I didn't like about this, they go all the way with the pareidolia, or however you say it, but then the umbrellas just have like a drawn face on them. I was hoping they could be like more clever with how they put a face on an umbrella.
Yeah, you're right about that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because it's like penciled in, and the rest of them are like, oh, the weird like I don't know, the awning looks like a mouth, so the ornate, like, wrought yeah, iron must be eyes or something. Yeah, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very weird, because, yeah, at one point, like, the door is alive, but then, like, the buildings are also alive, so it's like, do they share the same brain? A lot of questions.
Yeah, some of them are, like, multiply alive, so I don't know.
Yeah, like, each component of the building is alive, but then at some point it looks like one of the buildings itself is, like, alive, too.
I don't know, man. Skynet and all that. Everything's...
So this is the start of...
It is. That umbrella is the first Terminator, I think.
Well, anything else on that guy?
No, I think that's it. Oh, one more thing.
All right, yeah.
One of the editors was named Jessica Jew, which I don't think is a real name. Oh, I'm pretty sure it's not a real name. Like,
on the blue umbrella?
Yeah. She was like a chief operator or something. But, like, I don't think it's a real name. I've never seen that name anywhere. I know people.
I've never seen that surname.
But yeah.
So next time, Back to the Futures.
Back to the Future.
Toy Story 3.
Yeah. Toy Story 3. It's going to be a tough one, man. It's a huge bummer.
It's going to be tough. Is it less of a bummer knowing that they're making a Toy Story 4? Because I feel like that kind of cheapens Toy Story 3 a little bit.
I mean, have you seen Toy Story 3?
Yeah, it's great. Love it.
I
we'll see how I feel about it now, though.
I don't know why they would. Because
I mean, I don't know why they would for money.
Oh yeah, I mean that. Yeah.
Artistically,
they definitely should have, like, ended it. But
unless they do like a spin-off, but whatever. We could talk about that when we talk about Toy Story 3. We'll save it. We've hit our mark for this one.
I'm sorry.
I think we can wrap
it up. I'm just reading. I guess. Sorry, I'm just reading. I went to the article for Toy Story 4 because I was curious. And
yeah,
it said the screenplay will be written by Rashida Jones.
I did see that.
And that is strange.
That interests me.
That is, yeah, that's curious. I mean, I have nothing against her. I just never would imagine that, but okay.
Yeah, because, like, isn't she doing, like, a lot of movies about, like, the porn industry and sex workers?
Is she doing that?
I think she's writing those.
She's also writing Angie Tribeca.
Sure.
Right. She either is... I don't think she wrote it. Maybe she didn't write it. But she definitely is the star of it. I don't know if you knew that. You should have.
I don't even know what that is.
And it's like a parody version of, like, Law and Order and, like, Criminal... What are those called? Procedurals. That's what it is.
Procedurals? Mm-hmm. Is it on Adult Swim?
Wait, what?
Oh, Steve Carell. We'll look into that. Next time.
Yeah. We'll have our Rashida cast next time.
We're talking about, start with Quincy Jones and then move to Rashida Jones. Keeping Up with the Joneses. Boom. Whew. We did it. That name must be taken.
Yeah. It probably is. Probably by them. But.
Yeah, they should trademark that.
Alright, well, I think that's it.
Alrighty. That's all we came to do, and we did it. So,
find us on.
Meet us here next time.
Yeah, well, find us on Instagram or Twitter or Gmail. You know, all the above.
Yeah, whatever you think. Asterix is the name. Don't forget it. That's all I got.
Alright, till next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, George Bush.